Okay, talking this morning with Reverend Joseph Jakob of the Church of God.
German
Church of God.
That's it.
Okay. Now, you have an interesting history yourself. You're born in Poland.
Yes, I studied quite a bit of history 2 years.
You did?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you've come here since 1950. Okay. I'm a little bit curious now regarding the background of the German Church of God here in Aylmer. When did it begin in Aylmer, specifically?
It began in 1969, about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yes.
And how did it begin? Where did the people come from, or who came in to set up the church?
The German Church of God in Kitchener, under the direction of Reverend Reinhard Berndt, came from Kitchener to Aylmer with some young people and held some programs here. So the people liked it and they were interested in the doctrines of the Church of God. So they rented first a hall, later on they rented an old school in King's Mill where they held meetings.
Which hall did they rent? The first one?
Here in Aylmer. I don't know exactly. The Legion Hall, I guess.
Okay.
It's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, they rented an old school in King's Mill. And in 1972, we came over from the west of Canada. And 1 year later on, we built this church here.
Mm. You came from the west, straight here to Aylmer?
I came from the west, from BC.
From BC?
Yes.
What have you been doing in BC?
Pastoring too.
Also, Goddess Gemeinde.
Yeah, Gemeinde Church. Yeah.
Gemeinde Goddess Church. Okay. Who? So then it was the pastor from Kitchener who was working initially here until you came?
Yes, there were several others who worked also.
Also members of the Kitchener Church?
Yes.
Or
from the German Church of God as the whole, as a field in Canada and partly from the United States also.
Okay. I'd like to get back to that in a minute. Since we're zeroing in on Aylmer here specifically. So it started in 69. You know what, approximately what time of the year they got in here?
Yes. They started actually in 68 with a Christmas program. This was the very start.
Here? At the Legion Hall as well?
Or? No, it was more in sort of a private place.
In a house?
In a house.
Oh.
Around, yes.
Someone had invited you to come in?
I think some people from the Mennonites invited us, yes.
I see. Would you want to give the person's name?
I could, yes. I think it was John Reimers, as far as I know.
John Reimers?
John Reimers, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do they still come to the church here?
They moved now to the States.
Oh. So they no longer. How long ago was that? Just recently?
About 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay. So then the Christmas program in 68 was really the first contact. Why did those people call the Kitchener Church and get them to come in here? Do you know the background to that?
Well, as far as I know, some of the Mennonites went to the Church of God in Kitchener. I mean, the services, mm-hmm. they liked it and they thought this is the truth, that this is what they need. So they invited Reverend Berndt to come over and hold the program or so.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started.
How long has the church been in Kitchener? Any idea?
I wouldn't know for sure, but it would start in the 50s.
Late or early 50s?
Well, early 50s,
early 50s.
When the immigrants came over from Europe.
Oh, yes.
People from the German Church of God came over from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So they started all over in Canada with church meetings in the East as well as in the West and also in the United States.
Okay. The size of the church here now that you have, how many members do you have?
This is hard to say. The Church of God hasn't got actually members which we could quote as as such.
You don't accept people as members?
No.
Oh, why is that?
Well, I feel that no person could see 100% that the other one is a real Christian, he sees. The German Church of God, or the Church of God as itself, believes that everybody who is born again is a Church of God or belongs to the family of God. If you belong to a family, to your family, to the family of Zabatsky, your brother can't take you as a member in the family. If you're born into the family, you're in. You cannot be taken as a member into the family. This is the same on a spiritual scene. We never find in the Bible that any apostle or prophet or so on would take any members into a book. Or the Bible says everybody who is born again, who is written into the book of Christ or into the book of Lamb, he is a child of God, belongs to the Church of God or the family of God.
I see. Okay. Can you tell me how many attend here?
Oh, yes. I could see how many attend.
Yeah, okay.
There is around 200, a little over, sometimes less or so, yes.
But right around 200. Now, that's men, women, and children?
With children.
With children.
With children.
And that's a Sunday morning?
Sunday mornings. It goes up to 250 sometimes.
For worship service?
Yes.
And you have Sunday school?
We have Sunday school.
And what's your attendance there?
The same.
Same.
I would say, more or less the same.
How long has it been that kind of, at 200? Has it grown more
recently? Yeah, it has grown, yes.
Let's say, this is 79, let's say in 1975, any idea how many would have had then?
Well, it's hard to say, you know. I'll put it as...
approximately.
It started with when we came over in 72, mm-hmm. were about 60, 70 attendants, and then, you know, it grew.
Slowly grew up till now.
Yes, yes.
I see. Okay, that's helpful to get a feeling. Mm-hmm. Do you know when they started in 69, how many people there were then that came from around here?
The very first beginning was... with a lot of attendance, I would say a hundred or so, maybe over, yes.
How come so big?
I don't know. I think people just more liked it or so.
But then later it got
some dropped and went back to the churches or so.
To the other churches?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. The Church of God believes in a holy life. So when we preach the holy life, salvation first, you must be born into the Kingdom of God, which is the Church of God. Mm-hmm. And later on we said only those are Christians who live up as Christians. Then many went back and thought it's too hard or too much asked for. So there's quite a few who left and live up to the standard of the Bible as a holy, clean life. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that we are perfect. But we believe that we could live with the help of God a Christian life, otherwise we're not Christians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's called a Christian, he doesn't live as a Christian, I suppose he's not a Christian. If I say I'm a baker and I don't bake any bread, I've got just the name as being a baker, but I don't practice mm-hmm. the bakery, yes?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Does it make any sense?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. We're talking about theological issues here now. If you would characterize the German Church of God, in what areas would it be different, let's say, from some of the other churches that you know, if any? You've already emphasized salvation and living the holy life. Are there other areas that you would be distinctive on, if you can think of?
Well, first of all, as we mentioned, in the Church of God are only Christians because Christ is the one who takes the members, who writes the members in the Book of the Lamb.
Okay.
And according to Second Moses, which is Exodus in English, Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, God says, I'll strike out the one who sins. Mm-hmm. So God takes care of his people, of his church, in a New Testament view, I would say, Paul speaks about the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And only those people belong to the bride who are clean, who live as a bride, as Christians, as I put before. So the first one would be, you're born not into a church or organization, you're born into not an organism, but an organ. The Church of God is an organ, like a body, mm-hmm. which Paul quotes in Ephesians 6, verse 4, right. One body, one faith, one Father, and so on. Mm-hmm. One baptism also, yes. Mm-hmm. So everybody who is born into that organ or body is Church of God. This would be the difference between all the other churches who have members who are Christians and some are members who are not Christians. Because no human being can differ.
I see. Yeah. Okay, no human being can decide.
Decide exactly who you are, because we just see what's before our eyes and we cannot see what is in a person's heart. Mm-hmm. The second one would be, we believe after a person is born again, he must live as a born-again person. It's possible to fall in sin, but then later on, God will forgive us again, and he surely expects us to live again for him. Mm-hmm. Yes, especially in 1 John chapter 3, we read about... in the first 9 verses, definitely that who is born again through the Spirit and the Word of God can live for God. Mm-hmm. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, in all this he says, no, you know, and that God is our witness, how holy, how righteous, how faithfully we live among you. That's more or less how it would sound in German.
Yes.
And in Romans 8, verse 37, Paul says, we conquer by far in all these troubles. So we believe that we could conquer even in our days, the same as in the times of apostles. Well, this would be the two major points. People who are born again, then again, we don't... build up any fences or sectism. We believe that everybody is born again is our brother. Mm-hmm. We won't say that only we are right. We say everybody who is born again is a child of God. We don't build up any sectism, no fences, no, how shall I say, no differences. If anybody from other churches would come and we have communion, you know, I would say if you're children of God, you're very welcome to participate, because we're brothers, we're washed in the blood of Christ. Nobody is better in any family, yes? Mm-hmm. So everybody is welcome, everybody is equal in the Church of God.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned communion, so then you have it open for all Christians, for all believers.
Only who are born again,
yes,
are welcome. And who are not born again is definitely not allowed to participate. Of course, I wouldn't throw anybody out, but I'll quote in the scripture according to 1 Corinthians 11. Everybody examine himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do people who take communion, is there something about baptism that you talk about? What's the role of baptism in the church?
Communion hasn't got nothing to do, according to the Bible, with baptism.
Okay.
We have got baptism too, yes, but this is, of course, different subject.
Okay.
We also have foot washing. Like,
oh.
Yes, like I think the old Mennonites used to have foot washing,
yes,
too.
Yes, we did.
Christ says, do ye as I did unto you. I just quoted according to the German language.
Right.
Might be a little different according to the King James Version, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ definitely asked us to do it, and we do it. And baptism, we have we practice it by immersion, yes.
Mm-hmm.
According to Romans chapter 6, it says you must be buried with Christ. Buried and risen with Christ. We believe baptism is a symbolical picture of this, what we experienced in our heart. We died for the world, for all the sinful life. We buried with Christ and we rise with Christ. This is what the Catechism of the Mennonites says. It puts all for yes, you know that.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well.
So then it's baptism is a symbolic act, basically. That's right. The only function. That,
yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other areas that.
Oh, yes. The fourth. Well, the first point, as I put it, would be you're born into the Church of God as a member.
Salvation.
Nobody can't make you a member or write you as a member in the book, because nobody knows who I am really, or who you are, or anybody else. The second difference would be, we believe in a holy life. Of course, a person could sin, but then he must repent, otherwise he'll be lost, according to Ezekiel 33, or, Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, and so on. And the third one would be we do not believe in the millennium.
Hmm.
We are not believing in the millennium.
So you're all millennial.
All millennial, yes.
Okay.
We believe.
Explain that a little bit, not too much detail, but just briefly what your teaching is.
We believe that the 1,000 years which are mentioned in Revelation 20 are not literal meant 1,000 years, and they don't speak at all about the kingdom. The kingdom is made up by man. There is no syllable mentioned as a kingdom. It just says in Revelation 20 verse 4 that Christ ruled with those who were beheaded, you know, beheaded,
yes.
And who didn't worship the beast. They ruled with Christ 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant when the Church of God, shortly after the apostles, fell from its standard, it was persecuted by the 10 Roman kaisers and kings. After this, the Church of God was persecuted by the Catholic Church, as you know when you studied history. And this time, those who were beheaded and those who didn't accept this regime, they ruled with Christ 1,000 years. It started in about 275 after Christ till 1530. These are the 1,260 years which are mentioned in Revelation about 4 or 6 times or so.
Mm-hmm.
In these times, the beheaded people ruled with Christ 1,000 years. This is what we believe. So this was in the past. We do not believe that Christ will become a human being again and will come on earth and rule with some people on earth 1,000
mm-hmm.
years. If he would rule here on earth, then the unbelievers would be with him. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If he will not rule on earth, but be in the skies, how would be the lion? Could be the lion with him and the snakes and so on, which are quoted in Isaiah 11. So there is definitely that wouldn't cover with the scripture. So we do not believe. We say this is just a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And
figurative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This would be more or less the
okay.
major points which we believe different than other churches.
Okay. You just mentioned 1530. Can you give me a little bit of history on the German Church of God?
Well,
what is it? You mentioned. I sense 1530 is kind of a key date for you.
Yes. You know what happened in 1530, do you?
Tell me.
Do you know?
I know, but I'd like to hear it from
you. Okay. Well, first of all, when Christ came on earth, he says he'll build his church, the Church of God. On the day of Pentecost, this church of this church was definitely shown or how shall I say, could say it was born, but it was shown to the people in form that 3,000 members were born and they were there. This was the Church of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit after. Mm-hmm. And later on, Paul says, after my life, when I'm dead, according to Acts 20, he says there's going to be some wolves, some false prophets, which will tear up the flock, the sheep, and destroy the sheep. Mm-hmm. And in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, here it starts, the Antichrist is right now there. So a few years later, in about 275, mm-hmm. when the, was it Constantine the Great who announced the Christianity as a nation? This is when the Church of God dropped. The Holy Spirit couldn't rule the church anymore. People took over. Shortly later, the first pope was elected, wasn't it? Yes? And about this time, the first pope was elected. So, according to Revelation 12, the Holy Spirit couldn't dwell among his people. Yes? The people were ruling. The pope is called, even in our days, the Holy Father. Maximum Pontifex. In German we say Stellvertreter of Christ. Yes, assistant. Well, what would you say it in English?
Stellvertreter. Silent assistant.
Sort of. This is what he's called in today.
Advocate.
When this started, the Holy Spirit didn't have anything to say. He was actually pushed away. So, according to Revelation 12 and Revelation 13 and Revelation 20, the Holy Spirit Christ ruled with those who were beheaded because they tortured the Christians, and they the history would say about 40, 50 or even 60 million Christians died in this time. And 275 or 270 plus the 1260 is 1530. In 1530 Luther came up. Luther stood up and says, people can only become Christians through faith, not by paying money. This is when the first rays of light flew among the people. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the Revelation talks about the 3.5 days again. According to the prophets, it would be 350 years. 1530 plus 350 is 1880. Yes? Mm-hmm. This is when the Church of God was restored again. According to the Revelation. Holy men stood up like D.S. Warner, Riggle, Abel, Byron, and they preached, everybody who is born again is a Christian. You can't make him a member. He is a member by birth. And they also preached, come out ye from all these sects into the family of God, because we're brethren. Let's break up the fences which are built up by man.
Where were these men?
Where?
Yeah, the names you mentioned.
In the States. Oh, yes. Okay. Especially in, like our headquarters would be now in Anderson, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is how the Church of God stood up on a scene again, shown again openly. And since that time, we preach these truths. Everybody who is born again, and only who is born again, is a child of God. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's a church of God. He must live a holy life, otherwise he is not this what he professes to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The men in the USA, who you mentioned, what were they before? What were they doing at this point?
They were in other churches, yes.
Any ones primarily, or were they very much
yes.
around?
There were some... there was a pastor from Germany. I just can't remember his name. And the Wesleyans, they preached holy life mm-hmm. and sanctification. This we took over too. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there were Wesleyan Methodists. Who moved into the Church of God?
Yes. They took some of their doctrines also. Yes.
Some of the men who came with the Church of God organization then who had been Wesleyan
Had been Baptists.
Oh, Baptists.
Baptists, yes.
Basically Baptists.
Well, sort of.
Most
yes.
of them.
Yes. Yes.
I see.
And
German Baptists.
I wouldn't say German, no. And especially a pastor named Weinbrenner. Mm-hmm. This was in 1875 or so. A pastor, his name was, I think, John Weinbrenner, preached the Church of God. He says everybody who is born again is a child of God. And from him, and some points from the Wesleyans, and so on. God revealed this to Reverend Varner, that this are the people.
Who's Reverend Varner?
Well, he's the one that I quoted before. Mm-hmm. The Lord revealed him the Church of God.
I see. Okay. In 1870s.
Yes, mm-hmm. And in 1880, this was openly public or preached. Excuse me.
Okay, and then how did the church spread then? How did the church spread then?
Well, they preached this wonderful gospel. That everybody who is born again is the Church of God, and God could help him to live a holy life, and hundreds and thousands of people accept this wonderful truth.
So basically in the U.S. then?
U.S. It was spread over to Canada, then to Europe, especially Germany, up to Russia, Poland.
When did they go to Germany? When did the movement get into there? You know, years ago?
In 1890, I would say. Or a little before, even before that.
Mm-hmm. Was it by people going over and speaking?
Yes, yes. Some preacher from the Church of God went over and preached the gospel, and people just accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then that grew there then in Germany and Europe. Did that then come back to Canada again, or...?
Well, it started in the States and was just about spread over at the same time into Canada, maybe a few years after, yes.
Okay, I'm interested now, since it is German, how did that happen?
Well, there were many Germans in the States, so they had a few German congregations, some English congregations. And now, after the Second World War, many Germans came over from Germany to Canada. So this is how these congregations started here.
I
in the
see. East. So the Church of God then is also English as well as German.
Oh yes.
So when you say German Church of God, is that a branch or
a branch?
Kind
sort
of
yes.
Linguistic separation there.